Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 103. It's on the screen and also on page 939 in your pew Bibles. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Here ends today's scripture reading.
Before we get deeper into the word, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray for our church right now. Holy Spirit, would you breathe life into us? Lord God, where we have forgotten your ways, forgotten who you are, would you breathe life into us, into our vitality, breathe vitality into our relationship with you. Remind us of your greatness. Lord God, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, even at this moment, that you would touch us and open our hearts in the places that we've been stubbornly resisting you. Would you make us soft and open before you, that we may receive all the blessings, all the grace that you desire to shower upon us generously. We are here for you. The whole reason we have gathered today is for your name alone, God. So show yourself and be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before I get into the sermon, I want to say that as of September 1st, it marks 1 year that I've been at the church. And I'm really, I'm just really thankful for all the blessings. Rhea and I have been just recollecting about what's happened this past year. And we are so thankful. The year has passed very quickly. It's hard to believe that it's already a year. But in another way, it's been a very full year. And so we're just thankful for all the experiences, all the relationships, the way you've welcomed us. We're so thankful. And we look forward to what God's going to do in the future. And as I talk about that, I need to talk a little, now shift a little bit to something a little more somber. As yesterday was another day of remembrance, and that was September 11th. And I remember quite vividly when 9/11 happened. Before that moment, it was just another day. I remember, oh, next week is my mom's birthday, better get ready. Usually that's what it signified for me. But I remember 9/11, I was living in England, and I remember very distinctly where I was. I was in a guitar shop. And I was looking at some music stuff, and I remember looking in the corner. There was a TV in the corner, and I saw a smoking building. And I remember thinking that surely that must be some kind of movie or something. that. But then I saw underneath it CNN, and I thought, well, you know, movies do that sometimes. They have, like, fake news coverage. And then I realized that this is no movie. And just at that moment, as I'm just standing there in that shop, my whole life, I don't know, it just felt like it kind of froze for a second. I was like, wow, those things are real. We live in a truly broken world. And, you know, it's without moments like that, and if we don't remember those moments, we can kind of move on after them quickly and think that, you know, everything is great. Doesn't everyone just live how we live? Don't we just live in comfort and security? But it's in those moments that remind us of the gravity of life, the seriousness. And as a result, we remember that day from this day forward to remember the importance and the significance of that day. We remember lives that were lost. We remember the brokenness. We remember that many live in terror, not just on our continent, but in many places in the world. And sometimes, you know, we're even the causes of that terror. We have been terrorized. We terrorize others. We live in a scary world. But the problem is, with humanity, if you look throughout all of history, one of the greatest problems of humanity is that we are forgetful people. You know, we forget the things that are most important to us. And that's why we take the time to remember things. Because we have to constantly revive our weak memories. You look through history and you think like, wow, those people back then, I can't believe that they fell into that trap. And how often have we seen in our current situation the same things that we struggle with because our memories are weak? And it's for that reason that we create birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. We create birthdays to remember the people that we love. Of course we love them. But how strange that birthday always comes on that day that we least expect. You know, anniversaries, aren't they so important? But it's always like, wow, is that tomorrow? You know, it's always something like it kind of catches us by surprise. You know, in Canada, the equivalent of Veterans Day is something called Remembrance Day. And the motto that we have on Remembrance Day is that we say, lest we forget. Why do we have these days? We have these days lest we forget. And they tell us, let us not go back to the past mistakes. Let us not forget. You know, isn't it funny how every day, you know, we could be talking about God, but our memories are weak. We can somehow forget him. We could be coming to church every week. But somehow, in the process of this routine of coming every week, we can forget him. You know, every day, people are challenging who we are as Christians. The influences that we have, the stress that we have, the responsibilities that we have, the culture around us. They're all making claims about what we should be remembering, what the past looks like, what our present looks like, and what the future looks like. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 says, don't be like the man who goes into who goes into the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. And some people hear that and they say, well, that's obvious, isn't it? No one looks into a mirror and then forgets what they look like. Have you ever looked in a mirror and go like, wow, who was that? You know, and look back again. But that's exactly what happens often in our spiritual lives. We come before the Word, we come before God, and we discover who he is. And then we just kind of walk away and we forget that. And we come back to that spiritual mirror again, and it's like, oh yeah. And you know, the remedy for this forgetfulness is a return to the Word of God to revive our memories, lest we forget. And I just kind of wanted to throw out there another way to look at this is to look at the word remember. And, you know, if you study things like, you know, the origin of words and such, if you actually did the opposite of remember, it wouldn't be forget, it would be dismember, which is kind of a strange way of thinking about it. But remember, the opposite of remember is to dismember. In fact, remembering is about reattaching yourself, and to not reattach yourself in a way is like to kind of cut yourself off. And how often have we kind of gone through life distancing ourselves from God, disconnecting ourselves from God? You know, maybe many of you here today have some idea of God, but perhaps have forgotten who this God is that you're here for. And how do we do that? We reattach ourselves to God's story, the story that God has written in all of us. He has written this story in you, and he has written it not just in you, but in generations of believers before you. From the beginning of time, God has been writing this story. But how often have we forgotten what God is doing in his story? And we've kind of gone off into our own little kind of stories and thinking like, oh, I wrote my own story. But God is here today, and what I really want to do today is to remind you that God has been writing a story that is much bigger than just your individual experience. And how we get back to that is through the Word of God. And I think a real important way is that we come back to that through meditating on the Word. And what I want to do today is to bring attention to Psalm 103. Today's not like a, you know, I'm going to fix your whole life sort of thing, but I want to kind of walk through how Psalm 103 is almost a little miniature framework of how do we get back to that process of remembering who God is. What are the things that we need to remember about God? And why am I talking about this whole process of remembering? Because I'm going to be talking next week about what it means to be a faithful Christian. And you cannot be a faithful Christian if you forget about the faithful God. You know, a lot of times you come to church and you might hear a teaching like, you know what, you need to be a good person. You need to do this and that. You need to give to the church. You need to be a good husband. You need to be a good parent. You need to be all these good things. And you just hear all this instruction. And then you start doing these things and you start going through the motions. Right? Maybe some of our younger folks, you know, why am I studying for school? I don't know. I'm just supposed to. But you forgot the original reason. And it's only remembering the faithfulness of God, of who he is, that will give you the strength to be faithful in all the things that God has called you to do in your daily life. And so today, I want to talk about remembering our faithful God by looking at Psalm 103. I'm going to be talking about four different areas about remembering God. And sort of to challenge you, I want to make sure that everyone walks away feeling at least challenged to say, like, you know what? I need to remember this one part of God. This is a real important thing. Obviously, you need to remember all four all the time. But don't leave here just kind of thinking like, wow, that was cool. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. That was a great message. But really walk away thinking like, this is something I really need to commit to. This is something I really want to remember about God, especially with what I'm going through right now. And the first thing is, let's look at verse 1-5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And the first thing I want to say is, let us remember the blessings of God. And when I read this, it sounds like, wow, that sounds like a very call to worshipy kind of inspirational something. But who really lives that? Who kind of wakes up in the morning and says, God, I remember your benefit. I remember that you forgive me. I remember that my life is redeemed on a cloudy Sunday morning. You wake me up and you renew my youth like the eagles. And you know what's really powerful about this is that this is not written by one who is just cheery and optimistic and has everything going his way. As we read in Psalms, some of your translations might show you that this psalm is written by someone who is known as King David. And David has been attributed to praying this psalm. And if you read about David's life, it is a life of many victories, but it's a life of many struggles too. And yes, he was blessed by God. He was blessed to be a great king. He started from a very humble beginning. He was one who was overlooked, one who people thought and looked at him and said, you know what, I don't think anything great could come out of you. When the king auditions were coming around, you're the last guy I'm going to think of. You know, and David was also the person, even though he became king and he was given great responsibility, he really disappointed many, and especially God, when he fell into adultery. And that adultery had great consequences. His child died. And many afterwards in his family turned to be very disgraceful to the throne. He lived with public ridicule. He lived like a fugitive for many years. He faced betrayal and pain from those close to him. You see, Psalm 103 is not always a psalm that you're thinking of. You read this psalm when things are going well. In a way, it's David kind of saying, look at God all the seasons of my life. And bless the Lord, O my soul. Let me not forget his benefits. Another translation, let me not forget any of his blessings. Yes, we struggle. Yes, we are weak. But let us not forget the blessings of God. Because when we forget the blessings of God, we become weak. And the analogy has said here in the Psalms is about this eagle. And why the eagle is so appropriate in the Psalm is that if you know a little bit about eagles, eagles simply extend their wings. They don't flap around madly like other birds. Struggle, struggle, flap, flap, fight the wind. They actually own the wind. They simply extend their hands. Arms, or wings, yeah. Thank you. I'm tired too. No. They extend their wings. And what happens is that the wind just comes underneath them and lifts them up. You could almost hear David saying, Lord, today I extend my wings. Let the power of your spirit simply just let me to soar again, to rise again, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Is there a moment where we say, Lord, have I forgotten your blessings? Have I forgotten that you're a good God for me? That your desire for me is not to make my life difficult, but to bless me generously and to raise me up when I am weak, so that I simply need to extend my wings and you will lift me up. Do we remember the blessings of God? The second thing, to remember the mercies of God. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. And the second thing I want to talk about is remembering the mercy of God. You know, when David mentions Israel, he reminds everyone about the story of Israel. You know, why does he do that? He says, you know what, the thing that happened to Israel is not just about Israel itself, it's about you too. Do you remember what God did with Moses? Do you remember that he was merciful to them? That same God who is merciful to the Israelites is merciful to you. How often have I kind of heard how God has been twisted into thinking about he's an oppressive taskmaster? Just this week, someone was sharing with me, and he was talking with a speaker about, he asked him a question. So at the end of your life, and you come before Jesus, and then he kind of scrolls through all the things that you've done wrong with your life. And then he says, hey, I'm sorry, because of these things, you can't come in. Would you be okay with that? And if you said yes, then you really need to rethink about who the God is that you serve. Because what we read here is that God is unlike all the other gods that were displayed across the nations. God was unique. He was different. There was no one like him. Is that he was a God who forgave. You know, a lot of us, I mean, especially, I think from an Asian Confucian background, struggle with this concept of duty and obligation. And often, we don't admit it, but we have often kind of transformed Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit into like this Confucian taskmaster. Were you faithful to your obligations and your duties once you enter those gates? merciful and gracious. Yes, he does get angry. He does judge, but he will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can go before those gates and say, yes, there are many things in my life that I did not fulfill, many obligations failed, many duties not fulfilled, many weaknesses exposed. But by your abounding grace through Jesus Christ, as I submit to that, as I put my trust in that, you forgive. To teach a gospel that just simply talks about be a good person, because that's what's most important. You forget the living God. You forget his mercies. People who live your life where you don't forgive others, Christians who do not forgive others, when you have burdens and resentments against others, then you have forgotten the mercy of God that has been given to you. Have you forgotten that when God looked at your sins, he threw it as far as the east is from the west? It's gone. He doesn't treat you as you deserve. That is our God. And when you struggle with that, I would say that then I think your memory of who God is poor. Do you remember the mercy of God? The mercy that he showered upon you? Where he doesn't repay you according to your sins, but instead blesses you. You see, the story of Israel is not a glamorous one. It was about a stubborn people that kept doing the wrong thing. And then they kept crying out to him when they got in trouble. And this is the really amazing thing about the scripture, is that God met them where they were at. Judges is probably one of the most frustrating books for me to read, because they keep doing the same thing over and over again. But God is there for them. His desire is not to judge you and to be harsh with you, but his desire is to forgive you. And his desire is that you forgive others. Don't resist God's goodness. He really wants to bless you. If you turn to him and acknowledge the places where we've fallen short, he's not here to say, I told you so. He's here to say, tell me those things so that I can forgive you. Don't forget, that is the gospel that we have. That is his mercy. Third thing I want to talk about, remembering God's place and our place. Verse 15 to 18, it says this, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And this one I want to share about, which is kind of a very important thing, is that in our day and age, with the advances of medical science and technology, we live in an age of comfort and care that we've never seen before. We have options to live better than we've never had before. You know, I talk to young people, and it just feels like, you know what, there's so much available to us in this world, I feel like I'm going to live forever. But you know what, God is very compassionate to us. Why is that? Because he knows about how frail we are, how weak we are. Some of you hear him and think, what? I'm not frail. I've got great health. I've got everything I need. But you know, the accurate picture of who we are and what our place is that God says, you know what? You're like dust. You're like grass. The wind passes over it and it's gone and it's forgotten. Our lives are short. Very fleeting, very fragile. For those of us who are struggling with sicknesses or have someone close to us who's struggling with an illness, it comes really close to us. Our lives are so fragile. Our place in this world is very unstable. But it is at this point where we remember God's place as we remember our place. As it says here in the Psalms, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We are like grass, but God's love is steadfast from everlasting to everlasting. You know, I remember after moving a lot and just seeing all the hardships that my family has gone through, seeing many of my close friends struggle through many things. What is it that we can kind of come around? What is it that can give stability, that can give a foundation to our unstable lives? It is the steadfast love of God that is from everlasting to everlasting. We spend so much energy and anxiety over making our place, securing our lives. But the only thing that will be secure is God himself. Somehow in the midst of this chaos, God's love remains strong and faithful. And many of us live our lives panicked and confused and scared because we have forgotten who God is and what his place is in our life. And we've also kind of overestimated our place. And the last thing I want to talk about is remembering God's worth. And another way to say this is probably remembering to praise. And I think this relates to all of the other three. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you see this kind of picture of David saying, just everything should bless him. Everything. And how often have we kind of had a weak kind of Christian life because we have forgotten. We have forgotten to praise. We have forgotten about God's worth. There is no one in heaven or on earth that should not be praising him. And it's not because like, oh, wow, we have to praise him because we have to. You worship when you see who God is. Worship is not like this obligation. It is a response to the greatness of God. Some of us say, like, wow, it's really hard to worship. Then I encourage you to think, like, well, who is the God that you look at? Well, the God I look at is someone I got to see every week, and it's really boring. It's really difficult. You know, I don't really get any blessings out of him. I don't really get any mercy out of him. I don't really see any stability out of him. And then is it any wonder that you don't really feel like praising him? Is it any wonder that it is so difficult to serve him? Because you're simply serving him on willpower, but not out of response to what you remember about him. You see, David struggled. David was insecure in his life. He was unstable. He had no security at times. He was a fugitive. He was confused and lost at times. But how did he keep coming back to this time and time again throughout the Psalms? Oh, my soul, why so downcast? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him. Why did he keep coming back to this refrain? Because he remembered who God was. And you know, I think one of the dangers I've seen in youth ministry is we're trying to make God like, hey, you know what? Hey, kids, you know what? I want you to worship God because like it's really cool or something. Or you know what? It's like we'll give you more music or make it more entertaining or we'll do more bells and whistles. And all I've really done is like dress up Jesus like a big Mickey Mouse or something like that. You see, what we really need to talk about more is like, this is who God is. This is the greatness of our God. Have we gone kind of cold in our worship? Have we forgotten the heart of worship? Then it's probably because we have forgotten who the living God is. And as I continue to talk about this, you see, God has not changed, but our memory changes very often. And so as I talk in the next couple of weeks about how do we be faithful in our Christian walk, it must start with this. We must faithfully remember who God is. You know, yeah, you can try and push through a couple of Sundays, but it's not going to get you far. God is not longing for you to push through. He is longing for you to remember who he is constantly. And that will give you the strength be a faithful Christian. And I'm going to be talking about faithful obedience next week. But what I want to just throw out there as I close, what have you forgotten in your life? What do you need to revive in your spiritual memory? Is it his blessing, his mercy, his place? Is it his worth? And I encourage you today, you know, don't wait around for this. Come back to a place where you remember him. He has not forgotten you. Remember him. Remember he is the faithful God. He is still there for you in all his glory, just as he was from the beginning. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would revive our spiritual memories. Lord, we know that there are many routines, there are many things that we do through life where we forget and we remain unmoved by the world. But remind us again of your beauty, of your grace, of your greatness, of who you are, that it may fill us with faithful obedience.